Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation. Miss Kimberly!
Hey Judy, how are you doing today, my sister?
I am white fine.
Wonderful.
Avu?
You gotta throw a little French in there, huh?
Yeah, I am.
But no, I'm doing fantastic. I am really doing good, which is a good thing because we're going to have a tough subject today, my sister.
Ooh, and you've been laying it on, sister.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, we have been talking about sugar and sugar addiction, which many people struggle with. And I'm going to talk about a question that I have been receiving via email, actually. But let me just do a little brief recap of what we've been talking about first before we talk about the new stuff. But last week, our topic was sugar, your emotional painkiller question, in which we uncovered what is behind an emotional connection to sweets and how some people use sugar to numb themselves to emotional pain. So if you're someone who is struggling with this issue, then I highly recommend that you go back and listen to that particular episode. So this week, like I was alluding to, we're going to talk about a common question that I have received from TakeBackYourTemple.com readers about sugar addiction. But I think it's really important that we have the Lord be with us during this session and His Holy Spirit to guide us. So before we discuss this week's topic, Judy, will you pray us in and read the focus scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12.
My pleasure. Gracious, gracious Father, what a gift to be able to come to you. Our Father, who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, merciful, gracious. Lord, may all of us grasp those that you, God Almighty, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And you only want what is best for us, which is a more fully surrendered heart. So, Lord, be with us as we talk about a conversation, as we have a conversation that's tough, that's going to be feel really challenging to some people. But assure them that you are with them and that you are the one who will sprinkle their heart clean. We come before you in the name and the power of Jesus the Christ.
Amen, my sister.
And 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any by God's grace.
Amen, my sister. And that is what is needed for us to be able to keep these things under the authority of God and to understand and recognize that we don't want to put anything before our relationship with God. So just to get our listeners out of suspense, I want to share that question that I have received from Take Back Your Temple readers. And the question is sugar addiction a sin? Now, I have described many times on our episodes that I suffered from sugar addiction myself for over 20 years before the Lord set me free. So I'm going to share some insights from biblical truths and from my own experience. So concerning the is sugar addiction a sin question, the first thing that we need to consider is what is the definition of addiction. And so the definition of addiction is to have a dependency, and I'm emphasizing that word, upon a particular subject to the point that you'll have adverse effects when you remove it from your life. So to clarify, an addicted person depends upon that substance to get them through life. Plus, such a person fears that they will be able, that they won't be able to handle everyday life without that substance. So in reviewing this definition about dependency and coming to depend on that substance, I also considered the definition of idolatry as author and pastor Tim Keller defined it. And this is what he said. He said, "What is an idol? It is anything that is more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give." And let me repeat that last statement. He says, anything you seek to give you what only God can give. So in light of this definition of idolatry, then I'm going to challenge listeners that you ask yourself a key question. Is practicing this addiction, sugar addiction, more important to you than your relationship with God? Let me repeat that and you can ask it of yourself again. Is practicing this addiction more important to me than my relationship with God? And that is a serious question, and it requires searching your heart and mind for an honest answer. Now, I will confess that for many years, I would have to admit that practicing sugar addiction was more important to me than my relationship with God. And the reason was, is that I had an arm's length, and I put that in air quotes, shallow relationship with God in the first years of our relationship after I said the prayer of salvation. But back in 2001, wow, it's been over 20 years ago now that I think about this, it was at a women's conference, a Christian women's conference, and God revealed his love to me in a unique way. And once I experienced God's love, then I had a desire to know God's word and to come to know him more, to trust him more. I wanted to know that God, as I came to know him as my loving father, what he had in mind for me. And so, Judy, I've got this question because those are some pretty heavy thoughts. We're talking about the definition of addiction and we're talking about the definition of idolatry. Now, Judy, you did an episode a while back entitled Idolaters All. That was pretty hard hitting as well, that I highly recommend that our listeners go back and listen to that one if they haven't already. But I just want to know, please share your thoughts about how an attachment to sugar or any other substance to which we can come to depend can devolve into idolatry.
Well, first, Kim, you mentioned Tim Keller, and it makes my heart sad because he was such an amazing man and pastor, and we lost him a year ago. And he was colleagues with David Pallison, Paul Tripp, Ed Welch, and these are all, again, godly men. I don't know that they're all, I think they're all in the Christian counseling space, which is why when I was writing Sprinkled Clean, I pulled from their work. And yes, just a couple of, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks ago, but maybe a couple months ago, a month ago, I don't know when it was, but you're right. You and I did a session under the umbrella of the Sprinkled Clean series called Idolaters All. And so I quoted this Paul Tripp passage from his book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, but it's just so profound. And you asked, so I'm going to tell you again or quote again from what Paul Tripp said. There is an undeniable root and fruit connection between our heart and our behavior. People and situations do not determine our behavior. They provide the occasion where our behavior reveals our hearts. Now, that is a profound statement. People and situations, I really want that, do not determine our behavior. They provide the occasion where our behavior reveals our hearts. And he continues, he says, an idol of the heart is anything that rules me other than God. So same kind of thing that Tim Keller said. If God isn't ruling my heart, someone or something else will. So there's just no way I can add to that. I mean, an idol of the heart is anything that rules me other than God. And he says, until it is removed, it will distort and obscure everything else in a person's life. So that's a big statement. And I ask our listeners, is your propensity toward unhealthful foods, sugar, not wanting to exercise, is it distorting anything else in your life? So I thought it would be interesting to read a couple of the questions from a sugar addiction quiz from Prevention Magazine. And I'll just read two or three really quickly, and then you sort of keep track. Are your answers mostly A's or B's or C's? So one, how often do you eat or drink sugary foods or beverages, including ones made with no calorie sweeteners? A, once or twice a month. B, I'll have dessert a couple of times a week. Or C, pretty much every day. Question two, what's your typical breakfast like? Scrambled eggs with vegetables, avocado toast, last night's leftovers. A, B, Greek yogurt, oatmeal with fruit, smoothie. C, sugary cereal, a muffin, or a breakfast cookie. Three, how much sugar or sweetener do you usually add to your coffee? A, none. B, a teaspoon or one packet. C, two teaspoons. They get harder. Couple more because they're harder. Do you hide sugary foods to eat them later? Nope. Why would I do that? B, not usually, but I know there's only one more piece of Aunt Millie's amazing pie left. I might rearrange a few things in the fridge to make it harder for anybody else to find. Or C, yep, I have a stash of favorites to enjoy when I'm by myself. Do you ever feel powerless in front of sugary foods? A, rarely. B, maybe sometimes. C, yep. Usually once I start eating stuff like that, it's really hard to stop. So I would encourage you, look up the sugar addiction quiz on Prevention Magazines, go through the whole thing. But if even in those handful of questions, there were a lot of C answers, you may want to go to your savior about that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm going to add that resource and a link to it on our resource page at takebackyourtemple.com. And our listeners can find that at takebackyourtemple.com/podcast, and you'll see a link to our resource page there. So as I started studying out God's word, the definition that I wanted us to briefly cover as well is the definition of sin. What does sin mean? Because we've already talked about addiction and talked about dependency, but what is sin? And so as I started studying out God's word, we talk about James, in which it's defined, James chapter 4, verse 17. And it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And listeners, I'd like you to pause and think about that. Because in my case, I was convicted in how I was using sugar, and I knew it was not good. So to me, it was sin because I knew to do good in this particular area, but I was not doing it. And so I've shared this experience that I'm going to talk about here before, but it bears repeating. And I became dependent upon sugar as a little child. As I've explained before, I was a child of a single mother. And before she went to work, she would leave me with the babysitter and would give me candy money from the corner store to use at the corner store. So I came to associate the fact that sugar soothed the loneliness I felt when my mother wasn't there. And it made me feel better. And because that association became programmed into my brain as a little child, I didn't know better back then. I wasn't convicted at all in my use of it because I did not become convicted of that, that sugar wasn't good for me until I became much older as an adult. But once God convicted me that I was using sugar as a substitute for him, then to me, it did become sin. And once God convicted me of that, then I had a responsibility about whether I was going to follow God in this matter or not, because that is the real issue. And I have one more thought that I want to mention that I believe is important, because our God is about restoration, not condemnation, because the difference between conviction versus condemnation is this, and I want you to get this. Condemnation says you're bad and you're never going to get any better. While conviction says you're making a mistake and here is how you make it right. So conviction is about life-giving grace, while condemnation yields death-dealing hopelessness. And I want you to consider this, because the root word of the name devil is diabolos, which means accuser. And I want you to picture a courtroom, a prosecutor in a courtroom, and his job is to build a condemnation case against us. And critical self-talk, it focuses on the past and it supports the false idea that you cannot change using your past mistakes as evidence. And the enemy would rather we waste energy low-renting ourselves because of our past limitations rather than focus on God's promise of a better future and the greatness of our God. And consider the scripture in which God makes us a promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's one of my favorite scriptures ever. So, Judy, I would like you to share your thoughts about the differences between condemnation versus conviction in determining whether sugar addiction is a sin in a person's life.
You know, Kim, it's intriguing to me that the answer to all of life's questions are in God's word. You know, for anybody to say, "Oh, that's like ancient history. It's not relevant. We're like super hipsters today. It's not relevant to life today." Oh, contraire. It is astounding to me how actually we haven't changed over millennium, and we're all just sort of still dealing with the same struggles of, you know, wanting our way. So I love that you quote scripture consistently. And I'm going to be leading a handful of sessions coming up that are going to be based on Kim Dolan Lido's book entitled Fit God's Way. And she is a wise woman, is our sister in Christ. And she recommends that readers begin their journey by acknowledging who they are in Christ. And Kim, you and I have spoken on this issue more than one time. Back in February of 2021, we did a few sessions on our identity in Christ. In March of 23, we did a few more sessions on our identity in Christ. And listeners, you can never hear those truths too often. So please go back and listen to those sessions. But one of the most critical qualities of God's children is we are redeemed, forgiven, and free. And condemnation suggests we're still muddling in our sins without hope. But conviction is simply the Holy Spirit saying, I have a better path for you. Follow me and believe I will give you the strength to stick with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the excellency of the power is of our Lord and not of us, because we know that we cannot do anything without him. Certainly not. So in our action items, thank you, Judy, and for sharing that. Also in our action items, I'm going to share four questions to help you determine also if your attachment to sugar is a sin for you. Judy already shared some from Prevention Magazine, so we'll consider that as well. But the good news about this issue is that for believers in Jesus Christ, he shows us the way out of sugar addiction. And I want you to consider Romans chapter 6, verse 14, which says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's authority. That's power. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Because we know that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. And that's stated in John chapter 10, verse 10, because he wants us to feel hopeless, like we'll never change. But God's love motivates his conviction. Conviction is correction, a desire for God to show you a better way to live. And we know, for those of you who might be telling themselves, oh, I can't change, I've been in this situation too long, I might as well just give up and quit. Well, Romans 12, 2 is proof that you can change. And for me, it was such a hopeful scripture in overcoming sugar addiction. And that scripture reads, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so Romans 12, 2 is proof that you can change. And in addition, Romans chapter 6, verse 14 that I mentioned earlier tells you the power by which you can change. And we change through the power imparted to us by God's grace, the gift of his Holy Spirit. So once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. So God, through his Spirit, gives us power to overcome sugar addiction. But it requires being willing to walk out our recovery with him step by step and day by day. And I have to admit that it is going to take courage in your part. But the source of a believer's courage is that God has promised that he will never leave us and that he will never forsake us. So he's going to be walking with you through this healing journey. You're not going to be alone. So in overcoming sugar addiction, you'll need to examine, first of all, what's in you, and that is your thoughts and your beliefs that justify the practice of sugar addiction. And I recommend keeping a journal to note down those thoughts and beliefs that you might have, to bring them into the light so that you can confront them. The second thing is, who's around you? Do you have social influences around you, people who are indulging in sugar themselves? And they might be your eating buddy. Like at one point many years ago, my sister was like my eating buddy. She was a social influence in this area. So you have to renegotiate your relationship with that person in this particular area. And then finally, what's around you? What foods do you keep in your environment? Because all of these things work together in order for you to sustain change. They must work together. Now, am I saying that it's always going to be easy to change? And I'm not saying it is. No, not at all, because it wasn't easy for me, because there were days when I had a headache and low energy when I stopped abusing sugar. But you know what? One of the things that convinced me that I was doing the right thing was, if this substance is making me feel this bad from removing it, then it was bad from the very beginning. It was already causing damage to my brain and my body. So it was better to take it out and replace that item with something that was more helpful to me. So a couple of weeks ago, we had an episode and it was called Your Sugar or Your Brain, in which it was shown that there are actual physical changes made in our brains when we practice sugar addiction or any other kind of addiction, very similar to the same patterns in practicing drug addiction or alcoholism. And to me, that should be proof enough that this is not a good habit to maintain in our lives. And so one of the best things to know that when you're breaking sugar addiction in your life with God's help is to know that we serve a good God. And his plans for us are better than anything that we have for ourselves. So we have to remind ourselves of that truth as we walk out recovery with the Lord's help day by day and step by step. And see, before I give you the action invitation, I want you to know that that is the bottom line. I challenge you to see the vision that the Lord has something better in store for you with the sugar addiction out of your life. And here's a final thought here. And that is, if sugar addiction has become an idol for you, knock it over, remove it, break it, so that God can be first in your life in every single area, because his blessings are bundled in obedience to his word. Now, here's that action invitation that I was talking about. And these are some questions that I'd like you to explore with the Lord's help in your journal. Just write them down. And you're going to ask the Lord to be with you as you search your heart, and ask the Lord to give you courage through his presence to be honest with him and with yourself. So the first question is, do you use sugar as a means to soothe emotions that you don't want to feel? Number two, do you feel guilty about your use of sugar and the amount that you eat? Number three, have you ever tried to hide the amount of sugar you're eating from other people? And then four, have you ever kept a secret stash of sugar items as a treat for yourself? Because these are hallmarks of the practice of addiction. So, when sugar is a stronghold in your life, it is sin. And many years ago, I read a quote from a Christian author, and she said, the strength of sin is secrecy. And that was author Beth Moore. And once you decide that you do want the spirit of addiction out of your life and you need to regain a right relationship with food, then I ask you to pray to the Lord for his guidance. And I'm going to share a prayer that I wrote on this issue as we get ready to close out this session. So, Judy, I think we have maybe about 3 minutes. Do you have any brief thoughts that you'd like to share before we get ready to close out and I end with the prayer?
Well, I just have a sense that this has been a hard session for some people. I just have a sense that there are some people out there maybe feeling guilt, maybe feeling shame, maybe feeling defeat, maybe feeling overwhelmed. And I just want to pray that you pray the word. It's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, to read the word. It's a completely different impact to pray the word. Lord Jesus, I claim your promise that I will not be overwhelmed with sugar. That all the verses, Lord, or Kim, that you gave us the Romans 12, 2. I will not be conformed to this world. I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Claim God's power. Pray his power. Pray. And there's nothing wrong with, Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm.
But get to the place where you are in the present. Lord, you have helped. You are in me. I am a new creation. And I am claiming that.
Amen. Amen. And there's been times, Judy, when I just had to pray. I just said, Dad, help. And to me, that was enough, you know, to know that he heard me. Dad, help in the name of Jesus. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out here. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that my sister and my brother who is listening to the sound of my voice, feel your love in such a deep and caring way. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're not going through this alone, that this is a healing journey. And you desire your best to be made manifest in their lives. So, Lord, we're so thankful that by your Spirit, we are free of sugar addiction. Our listeners are free of sugar addiction. So show them what is the next right step for them to take so that it's not convenient for them to practice this. Show them any people around them that may be influencing them to practice sugar addiction. And give them the wisdom as to how to handle those situations, to be able to confront that situation with truth, but also with love. And Lord, show our listeners the things that they may be keeping in their environments that make it easy for them to practice sugar addiction. And above all, show them the destructive thought patterns that they might have had that have convinced them that it's harmless to continue to practice sugar addiction. It is not harmless. Thank you for showing them that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And it's in Jesus's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen, sister. Powerful session.
So, sister, amen. We got through it. We got through it, Lord. And we believe there's freedom.
Yes, ma'am. And lives are going to be transformed. And I'm excited about that.
Me too, sister. Me too. So God willing, we will do another session on next week. And we will continue to keep our listeners in prayer that what we have prayed today and what we have covered today will be the very beginning of the chains being broken.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
So God willing, I will talk to you next week. Love you.
Love you big.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.